First pitch to Semien. He cranks one up the alley left center field. Couser and Mullins go after it. That one's up and out of here. Marcus Semien. A three-run home run. And the Rangers strike first. And they strike big here in the bottom of the third.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3. The Fan, 877-881-1053. Frankel, injury attorney, text line. If you want to get involved in the conversation, we got a lot of Rangers stuff to get to from last night, especially. Do you want to start with the game itself or outside chatter?
Yeah, let's start with the game itself.
All right. So when we talked with Boach yesterday, I have to admit, I was a little surprised when Nathan Eovaldi was out there for the fifth inning, because Boach said, you know, we're going to stretch him out, kind of like you do spring training increments of stretch out. And so it looked like 60 pitches, probably give or take. Now, he ended up at 72, so it's not like he threw 88 pitches or anything like that. But I was a little surprised he went out for the fifth, pleasantly so, and he had a just dominating outing.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons, too, that they were like, hey, let's see if we can get him through five innings.
Fair.
He's clicking along here.
Yeah.
It's not like we have a bunch of runners on base at all. And so let's just give him every opportunity to get them to max it out, and then let him maybe tell us when he's comfortable.
Yeah.
Hey, look, guys, I know this is my last inning. Let me take care of these three batters, and then y'all can take it from here.
And I think he only threw 11 pitches in that inning.
Yeah.
So it's not like he went out struggling.
Yeah, he's everything we know he is.
For sure.
And knowing that he should be healthy for the remainder of this season, like, this is kind of the best version of him. He goes through this where you start off strong, take a 3-4 week break of some sort,
right,
at some point in the early June, and then all of a sudden he comes back and he finishes out the season for you. So hopefully that's the case with him this year. But also, it was nice that he got pretty immediate run support too.
Yep.
Like, that was the big factor, was he knew, I can go attack this strike zone in the fourth and fifth inning because I got a few runs on the board. I just got to give them a couple clean innings before I hand it over to the bullpen.
Yeah, and we talk about this all the time, stress versus low stress to non-stress pitches. And I imagine that in the fourth, and then definitely in the fifth, significantly lower stress for Nathan Eovaldi. And you got, you know, you got more offense than we've been used to. And you've seen some flourishes here and there.
I don't know if it's just that it's Baltimore. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Everybody's going to say this right now. Oh, it's Baltimore. And you get San Diego this weekend. I think there's a little something else to it right now. I think when CY dropped that, I got to see it. And, you know, the heartbreak that was. And they all, I think they've collectively said, no, we're going to find it. The guys in the middle of the order, we asked Boachy that yesterday. Who are the ones that are contagious? And the guys in the middle of the order yesterday were the ones that were contagious. They were the ones that got that thing started offensively. I like it. I'm feeling good about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you get another win. You're within one game of 500, which I understand is probably not going to be good enough for people. And it shouldn't be good enough for people. We went through this stretch, and one of the things that we talked about was you want to go at least 12-6. They went 10-8 in that stretch. So personally, and this was against, and going into it, none of these teams were above 500, none of them. And you went 10-8. So unfortunately, the logical response is you're getting closer and closer to really having no choice but to accept that this is kind of what this team is. Not that good, not that bad. They're right in the middle with all of those other teams that weren't above 500. And you have a tough schedule to finish it out, but if you could put together some momentum following the Baltimore series win, put together momentum in these last three series, maybe you feel different going into the All-Star break, and you're going to have, you know, about 2 weeks to decide what you're going to do with the trade deadline.
Yeah, somebody mentioned that. I think it was on Twitter yesterday. So this team's going to do just enough to make themselves and CY believe
that, I can see that
they can go on a run and then falter in the back half of it. And I think my personal opinion is because they've been so blasé most of the first half, the energy is going to kick in the second half. I think there's going to be a different mode in the second half. But hopefully, like I said, like we were saying, right before this break, they do give CY a reason. He asked for it, right?
Yeah.
Like he said, prove it yes. to me. Just like a parent tells their kids, prove it to me so that I can be happy for you whenever we get this and we can reward each other.
Now, I want to go to this because, like, I just don't always understand when people say this from the 817. Y'all won't read this. If it's logical and it fits in with a discussion we're actually having.
I didn't see part of what this person says.
Okay. It says, Kevin Pillar mentioned yesterday the lack of community among the Rangers, and he was dead on. Did any of y'all notice when Osuna hit his first home run? Seager didn't even look up from his friggin' tablet to acknowledge Osuna. That's really lame from a veteran right like him. I also believe maybe morale has tanked since Adolis Garcia had to fight an arbitration to get a measly raise. I'm sure his teammates weren't happy about that. All right, so there's some things I agree with in there. There are some things that I definitely do not agree with in there. So
I didn't see Seager. I didn't see that. Yeah. So but we know, just being around the club, Seager this offseason did learn Spanish so he could talk more to the Hispanic side of the clubhouse. We did hear that.
Right.
But we also have known over time, Seager shows up, he has his own hitting instructor, he focuses on that stuff, and he isn't the party guy with the group. And I don't know that he connects with a lot of guys in that clubhouse, but they all look at him as he's the dude that can change the team.
Yeah.
They all know if he's hot, this team can be something different. So that is one of the kind of, then if one guy is going to be an outsider, do all the rest of the guys just take his, follow the lead? Or do they say, well, we're all going to be tight and we're going to include him when he wants to be?
Yeah, I mean, look, we've talked about this for a really long time, how Corey Seager, like you said, he does his own thing. For the Adolis thing, and also, like, I'm just personally offended by, you won't read this on air. Okay, why not?
Man.
We have honest conversations and negative conversations about the Rangers all the time. As for the Adolis thing, though, I disagree with that very much. The 2 years before, he made approximately $1.4 million total. And the Rangers offered him a two-year, $14 million deal. So he got 10 times as much money as he was making. That's not a measly raise to me. Now, was Adolis sad?
He expected more.
Yeah, he thought he was going to get a long-term contract extension.
Like, I just won you a damn World Series.
Yeah, well, that's great. Show up consistently throughout all the seasons, and we'll give you a consistent contract. Make no mistake about it. That's why he didn't get a consistent deal, is because he's so up and down. When he's up, I said this yesterday, I think he is the best player on the planet when he is hot. And yes, that includes Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani, at least at the plate. But you get way, way, way too many downs. And I don't think the Rangers trusted his production consistency with a long-term deal. And if you look at what's played out in the last couple of years, that is absolutely factual. As for the Kevin Pillar stuff, I told Corey, we talked about this before the show, I'm surprised this got so much traction from Kevin Pillar, and we'll throw to that in just a second, because we've talked about this time and time and time again, and it's not just Corey Seager. Look, we've talked about it, how there have been sections in the locker room in the past that, like, these are where some of the not as fluent in English people kind of click together. And we've talked about how Corey Seager seems to be an island upon himself at times. So I feel like we've had these conversations going all the way back to even when they did win the World Series. But let's go ahead and go to cut number four. This is what Kevin Pillar said on Foul Territory that really stirred a whole lot of people up.
I thought they would be a little bit tighter as a group. I thought it would be like kind of like my experience in Atlanta. That was probably one of the tightest groups since I was in Toronto. It's like everyone just, pulled on the same rope. Everyone wanted to hang out. Everyone wanted to do everything together. Everyone, winning was the most important thing every day. And, when I got in the clubhouse in Texas, there's a lot of talent in there, and there's just a lot of individual stuff going on. A lot of guys are doing their own thing. You might not see people till the game goes on.
Until the game?
Yeah, guys are kind of just doing their own thing, whether they have their own. And the it's not a knock against people that have their own routines, right? Some people, you know, have routines where they do like training room and they do their own stuff in the weight room. You know, they have everything kind of timed out. You know, as you get older in the game, you earn that right to kind of like, this is how I go through my routine.
No BP.
Yeah, not a lot of BP, not a lot of, you know, stretching together. And I just felt like maybe for me, just being kind of the outcast, because it's a lot of the same guys there that won the World Series. So maybe I was kind of on the outside. I was kind of looking more of a way to kind of, you know, get in that inner circle. And a lot of that times that comes through, you know, stretch and BP where you're, you know, you talk about things other than baseball. You get to know guys a little bit more. And that would even start like in spring training.
Just for the record, I don't think he's wrong at all. I don't think it's because he was an outsider. I just think that maybe the team doesn't click across the board as much as the Braves team that he was talking about.
Yeah, and didn't it seem like through that run in the playoffs and World Series, that team was tight?
Yeah.
Obviously, because now they have a different focus. But an Austin Hedges kind of made that possible. He's a personality that brings he walks by. He's not ignoring you. He's talking to everybody in the clubhouse is getting talked to by an Austin Hedges. And I don't think they have that personality in that clubhouse right now. I was hoping that Josh Jung was that personality, but he's got to be so down on himself right now.
Yeah.
That he's not having a good time and doesn't, as we know, nobody wants a Romo Cabo moment in their career.
Sure.
Nobody wants a, hey, we were having fun and we lost. So like that's not a good thing. But we see that clubhouse. We've walked around and seen how those guys go about their business. Doesn't necessarily mean everybody has to be best friends and spend the night with each other. Like that doesn't have to be the case.
That would be kind of neat,
though. But it does feel like you build that team chemistry that I'm pulling for you even when I'm not at the plate or I'm not playing today. I'm rooting for you because of the relationships that you build in the room. I mean, we built some relationships with our co-hosts at this station.
Sure.
That I'm rooting for those guys because of what we've done over time. And Kevin, I know you don't think that it's necessary to have a team dinner.
That is fair.
But you do see the value.
Sure.
In it. And you're like,
because everybody is different.
And now
because
I'm there.
Everybody is different.
And then you go and you enjoy your time. And now we have a new story to tell. Like, you're going to get something out of it. So I understand what Pilar is saying. And I've seen I can see clubhouses being like that. And that is one of the reasons I think Brett Boone was brought in too. They recognize that there was something missing that was connecting the guys. And Brett Boone said many times, I got to get to know these guys. And once I get to know them, then I can help them. We got to stop with the tablets. Guys,
sure.
Y'all be up paying attention to the game, rooting for each other.
But when it comes to Corey Seager, you can see specifically how he would be like, but why? Like I have made a lot of money in my career, and unlike Barry Bonds, he's won the World Series twice.
Yep.
And so I could see how Corey Seager's like, this is what I did with the Dodgers.
Show up and do your work and we'll win.
Yes. I think Corey Seager, like I see the process of Corey Seager where he's like, no, I'm trying to be the best possible person that I can be for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the best possible worker, player, however you want to put it. And he's like, I won the World Series MVP both times. We won the World Series in two different franchises. My method works.
Yeah.
But to your point about the team dinner, that's why I've started to do a significantly better job. I admit, I used to not be very good at this.
He was a bum.
At showing up to the team dinner, because I know for a lot of people it's super important, and that's how you have to kind of compromise, right?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, and this year's team dinner in Oxnard is going to be awesome.
I have no doubt about it.
You and me are going to eat so much pizza.
Okay. I need to know what level of volume Bobby is going to be at ahead of time so I can sit accordingly.
Me and you, Kevin. It's just going to be me and you.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because we're going out at different times. That's right. I forgot about that. I love Bobby. He talked to me like I was where Alec was and behind a pane of glass as well.
He was sitting next
and I was
to
like,
him.
Well, I'm right here. I can hear you just fine. And then, by the way, the other thing is Josh Jung got sent down to the minor leagues. And I know we talked about this in crosstalk to a certain extent, but in case you didn't hear that, Bruce Bochy gave us what I think we agree is a Stephen Jones answer.
Yes.
And what that means is whenever we ask Stephen Jones like about a particular player, we usually get the, you know, we're always looking to make the team better, talent acquisition 24/7. And it's like a vague answer that doesn't address the specific question that you asked.
But when he answers it that way, he's not giving you any truth.
That's just the way he talks.
When Bochy says it, he says the same thing every time, Kevin, because this has happened multiple times where a player's been sent down or an injury's happened or something's changed. Or you or I have asked about that specific thing, and he says, well, those are the things me and Maddox talk about, me and the coaching staff sit down and talk about every day.
Yeah.
When he says that, be prepared to see whoever you just asked about, something's about to change. That's his cue. Stephen Jones just says that as a way to answer the question without answering it.
And within 3 hours, Josh Jung had been sent down to the minors. Since June 1st, so last month-ish, he's hitting 158 with an OPS of 429.
Ooh.
Like, it is brutal, and it was time.
He looks like he can't get out of his own way either.
Yes, and it was time for a change, and here comes Jake Berger, and we'll see how that all works out.